Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello, once again, everyone. I'm your host, Ray Shasho. Welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Also by the Rockstar Chronicles, Series 1, my new book available at bookbaby.com, featuring over 45 intimate conversations with the greatest music legends the world will ever know. Jerome Mazza is a singer-songwriter born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. At the age of 8, Jerome taught himself how to play the guitar and sing after being influenced by guitarist and singer-songwriter Mark Farner of Grand Funk. Playing guitar and singing through his teenage years, he joined his first band at age 19 and toured the East Coast in various pop and rock bands. Jerome started to write songs at the age of 25 and was very influenced by the rock band Kansas, whose music combined classical music with progressive rock. While honing his songwriting and his singing, he became a session vocalist, including singing commercials in Los Angeles for major corporations such as Coors Beer, Pizza Hut, HBO, and several publishing firms. In 1990, Jerome became the lead singer for the second album from the Christian metal band Angelica, entitled Walking in Faith. The album ended up being the best-selling Angelica record. Still today, it's known as one of the best metal albums in Christian music. In 2015, Jerome recorded a self-titled solo album in the classical pop style. In 2016, Jerome became the lead singer and one of the founding members, along with Torben Envulsen, of the band Pinnacle Point. In 2017, Jerome contributed lead vocals to multiple tracks on Steve Walsh's fourth solo album entitled Black Butterfly, which was released on November 10th, 2017. Jerome sings lead vocals on three songs, Winds of War, Now Until Forever, Mercy on Me, and duets with Steve Walsh on the single Born in Fire. The Outlaw Son album is also available everywhere. Fusing classic hard rock with the complexity of British prog rock, Pinnacle Point revolves around the songwriting abilities of Jerome Mazza and Torben Envulsen. The two met online and started writing together at the beginning of 2016. Their debut album is entitled Winds of Change. Pinnacle Point is a rock band whose music blends the sounds of melodic rock and epic progressive symphonic rock. The band's 2017 debut album, Winds of Change, climbed the album-oriented rock charts and was voted top melodic rock album of the year for many rock music reviewers. The founding members are American lead singer Jerome Mazza, also featured as guest singer on Steve Walsh's Kansas last album, Black Butterfly, and Danish guitarist Torben Envulsen. Their brand new album is entitled Pinnacle Point with a release date of July 17th. Pre-order now at www.escape-music.com. Again, that's www.escape-music.com, and also coming to amazon.com. Please welcome singer-songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, producer and frontman for prog rock group Pinnacle Point, Jerome Mazza, to Interviewing the Legends. Hello, Jerome.
Hey, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing good. Did you fare well in this quarantine last 3 months or so?
No. It drove me crazy. I just, I'm not one to sit around, so... But I did get out. Yeah, but I got through it. I got through it okay.
Yeah, it's kind of coming back a little bit, especially around this area. How's it... Now, are you in the Pittsburgh area?
No, we're in Tampa, near Tampa, Florida.
Oh, okay. Now, do you live in Tampa now?
We live in Tampa.
Oh, I didn't know that.
30 years, right.
When did you move out of the Pittsburgh area?
Oh, geez. We think back now. It was back in 1985.
Oh, so you've been here a long time then.
Yeah, we moved to Florida from Pennsylvania, from Pittsburgh, and we're in Florida for about 7 years, so we moved out to Los Angeles.
Okay.
And I did some studio work out there and some songwriting and such, and then we moved back to Florida. We missed it. We moved back for family and such, and we moved back in 1999.
Yeah, we moved here in, let's see, it's been 2003 now. I came from the D.C. area, the Maryland, Virginia, D.C. area, back in 2003, and we love it. You know, we love the weather. We were tired of the cold weather, and
oh yeah,
I'm sure you were tired of the Pittsburgh weather as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's brutal. You know, it's pretty tough up there sometimes.
Yeah, that you became a session vocalist. You know, you did commercials in L.A. for major corporations. You did Coors Beer, Pizza Hut, HBO. How was that? That is a very lucrative career.
Well, you know, I just actually fell into it, to be honest with you.
Uh-huh.
I was living in Florida at the time, and the local studio just somehow they got a tape of me somewhere. I don't know how, but yeah, they said, come on in, and I'll tell you a funny story about it. I was going to do this Pizza Hut commercial, and I went in just to warm up, and I just went into the booth and sang the song like once or twice. I said, we're done. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we're done. We got everything we need. It was like, 10 minutes. So they said, could you come back? We've got a lot of stuff, a lot of work for you. So that's kind of how that happened. It was kind of out of the blue. But it was fun. It was a marketing firm from Canada.
Right.
Yeah. But that was fun.
Yeah, I've had a lot of guys that, classic rockers that they got into that. And, they've done some pretty famous commercials, and you would probably never know it was them.
yeah, I'm sure.
So what's going on these days? You had the, we had this dreaded virus going on. We're going to talk about the new album coming up in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
What other projects do you have going on right now?
Well, actually, kind of had a little bit of a break, obviously, and we're talking about doing a solo album.
Okay.
And talking about who we're going to work with, and myself and Escape Music. And, I don't know, we're thinking maybe a little combination of the Outlaw Sun album and Pinnacle Point. You know, like a Kansas Foreigner type sound.
Right, right.
So, but we're in discussions with it right now, and also thinking about a Pinnacle Point 3 down the road and kicking some songs around as well.
Well, that's a must. That's
yeah.
A must.
Yeah.
The I know you was it the was it the Christian heavy metal band that you started out with, was that one of the first bands that you were in that I guess had a commercial impact?
Recording band, yes.
Yeah.
I had played in bands when I was about 19 and played around the East Coast. But yeah, then I got out of it for a while. Mm-hmm. And what happened with Angelica was I just got a call out of the blue from Dennis Cameron. And not sure how he got my demo tape. I may have sent it to him from an ad that I had seen. I was laying my sod in my backyard, just one day after work, I get a call from Dennis, and he said, "Man, I loved your tape. You know, it's fantastic. I want you to sing on this album." But it's just that's how that happened. And so he actually came to Florida and stayed with us.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis and the bass player Bobby, and we rehearsed and everything, and then went to Bradenton down your way,
right,
to actually record the album. And it was a lot of fun.
Christian rock has really come a long way. I mean, you got Christian, heavy metal, mm-hmm. rock, progressive rock, anything you want.
Right.
And it's great music. It really is, because the lyrics are powerful. You know, don't have to worry about the lyrics here.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you know Greg Valtz from Petra?
I don't know. I've heard of him.
And David Huff from David and the Giants, both Christian rock bands.
Uh-huh.
And they play in Tampa a lot, as a matter of fact. But, you know, same thing. You know, they you know, very popular bands.
Uh-huh.
Very, very popular bands. And what's really interesting, though, is Kansas, you know, again, their lyrics sound very, you know, Christian rock, you know. Very, very deep, very inspirational, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, we've tried to do that as well on the Pinnacle Point, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sympathy of Mind, we have a few songs. It's a very inspirational album. Every song is, you know, inspiring and deep. And no love songs on this album, you know. So you'll find that as well on Sympathy of Mind.
Well, Symphony of Mine, I'm going to give it a 5-star. It's a great album. I like it better than your debut album.
Great.
I think it's a lot better.
Thank you.
What did any idea what the guys from Kansas thought about the album?
I don't know that they've heard, many of them heard it. It's going to be released next month.
Right.
I do know that some of the demos were sent, and we got a lot of thumbs up on it from a couple of them.
Did Steve Walsh know you were making this album?
No, we haven't talked to Steve.
Uh-huh.
And I don't believe our label has talked to Steve for a little while.
Right.
But Steve's retired. He's, from what I understand, he's enjoying his retirement
mm-hmm.
with his kids.
Yeah, we had Phil on the show a while back. He's a great guy. The drummer, Phil Earhart.
Oh, Phil's great.
Yeah.
I don't know personally, but mm-hmm. I know of Phil, yeah.
Well, the album is wonderful. I want to go over a couple of things. First of all, we know it was mixed and mastered at Morris Sound in good old Tampa. And the release date is coming up July 17th. Ascent to the Point, which is, you know, starts out, it's an instrumental track.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, man, Torben, he's an incredible guitar player.
Oh, he man, really he's is. Spoken on this. Yeah, absolutely. You know it's him.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
His signature way of playing. You know, he was perfect for that song. Perfect.
Well, you have an incredible voice, and I'll be honest with you. I think you should be the new lead singer from Kansas.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Now, if somebody offered you that, would you take it?
Wow. I'd consider it for sure. Yeah, I would. Kansas has always been my favorite band. You know,
right.
I've loved them since, I was 14. And that kind of music is just in my soul. You know, it really is. And if there were any band that I want to be a part of, it would be that.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, Ronnie is doing an incredible job. I mean, those songs are hard to sing.
Oh, yeah.
And play.
Mm-hmm.
And for, you know, to come in after Steve, who I consider the greatest rock vocalist, you know, in history. I really do. I mean, no one had his emotion and power and everything that he had, you know.
Right.
But for Ronnie to come in and do what he's doing is just, he's doing a stellar job, I think.
Yeah, but you know what? I like you better.
Well,
you remind me of the early Kansas. You know, when Kansas was on a roll and they just signed with Don Kirshner and, you know.
Yeah.
You really remember, because, you know, I grew up with Kansas too. You know, when Kansas first came out, I said, man, these guys are playing this kind of music. You know, this intricate type of music, and these guys are from Kansas, you know?
Yeah.
With you know, overalls and long hair and a beard and guys playing a violin. I said, man, where did this guy come from?
You're right. Those early Kansas is just absolutely incredible. I mean, I loved everything, you know, from, you know, Leftover Toronto and everything. I even loved the albums from the, you know, Somewhere to Elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I loved all of it. But those early days, man, they were just, his voice was just incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
So Alive, awesome guitar solo on that one. One of my favorites, Weight of the World. You
there
know?
You go. That's another Torben Edmondson song right there.
That should be a hit, in my opinion.
He just totally nailed it. We were talking, and I said, look, we need something like that, you know, just kick butt, you know, something really high energy. And he writes, Torben writes like a machine. He really does. And he pumps them out. He sends many, many songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this one, he just said, okay, fine. And he came right back with it, you know, within a week. And it just blew me away. I thought, wow, you know, if we put some nice harmonies on this, and it's smoking. And his solo on that is just incredible.
Yep.
Just taking off there at the end. It's a great song.
And he's got his own signature, you know, sound, like you say.
Yeah.
Also, you know, Rick Ayala, right? The violinist, the great violin intro and hero. Very Kansas-sounding tune. You know,
actually, it's Rich Ayala.
Oh, is it Rich? Okay,
Rich Ayala.
Rich Ayala. Okay.
Yeah, he actually plays. He plays guitar as well.
Okay.
On some of the tracks.
Yep.
And he also, let me tell you a story about Rich.
Mm-hmm.
We started working on Pinnacle Point 3 back in 2017, summer of 2017.
Right.
And it really took us a while to write some really great stuff that we thought, you know, people would like. It's hard stuff to write. And we're going along, Torben and I, and actually Torben had been busy working on a solo album. And Torben also does several albums a year. So he's incredibly busy. So and at the time I believe I was working on Outlaw Son.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, what happened was I got sick back in early 2018. For 3 months, I was out of commission. I couldn't even speak.
Really?
Thing. So we kind of got a little bit behind.
Uh-huh.
And out of the blue, I got a call from... I was contacted by Rich to... He wanted to know if I would sing on a song of his. And I said, well, send it to me. And what he did, though, he sent me an instrumental that he wanted me to hear.
Right.
And it blew me away. I thought it was very... Pinnacle Point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was something that we would have done. So I asked him, I said, hey, you know, would you like to write? We're a little behind. Maybe would you like to contribute to the album? And that's how we got Rich on board. And he ended up writing, I think, 5 songs on the album.
Wow.
Yeah, he did a fantastic job.
Yeah. You got some great talent in the band. You really do.
Oh, you had mentioned the violinist.
Yep.
And her name is, if I say this right, Valeria Pucharatsika.
Oh, wow.
I believe. Is that right? But I'll tell you the story on that. We had Kara C on the first album.
Uh-huh.
With the change. And she was busy, I believe, touring at the time and couldn't quite commit to it. So I went on a search for a violinist. I went through, believe it or not, 16 of them. All classically trained violinists, and I couldn't find the one that had the emotion and the attack that I needed for, you know, for this project. So then I found Valeria. It blew me away. I mean, I sent her one of the tracks, I think the hardest track on the album, In the Wake of Hope, and she just blew it away. It was just incredible. So we found a gem in her. She was fantastic.
Now, where's she from?
I believe she's in near Poland.
Okay.
Uh huh.
Now I want to mention everybody that's on this album. Now, will these players be the same players that'll be on tour once you guys promote the album?
Let me see here. Hard to say. it's hard to say at this point. We had some shows lined up in the fall, and it all fell apart with the virus.
Right.
And now people's schedules and everything else. I'm not sure. I mean, I'll have to. Not quite sure what the lineup would be.
Well, on the album itself, we have you lead vocals, backing vocals, keyboards. You got Torben on guitars and keyboards. You got Rich on guitars, background vocals. Valeria on violin. Is it Mark Prater?
Yes.
On drums. The Kayaki Itol?
It's Takiaki.
Takiaki Itol?
Ito.
Uh-huh. Ito. Takiaki Ito.
Ito.
On bass.
On bass.
And Howard Helm. I guess he's keyboards, synthesizer, organs. And then you had John Rogers on piano and strings.
Uh-huh.
So that's a big lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had quite a few people play on this one. It got people's schedules and everything. I know Mark, the drummer, was touring for a while, and Howard was out playing. And,
uh-huh.
You know, so we to move things along, we had some other people come in. But, yeah, it was a long journey, I'll tell you. It took us about 2.5 years to get this thing finished, but and we're trying to make an album that goes back to like the 70s, you know.
Well, you nailed it.
You think so?
I think so.
Well, that's great to hear, because you know everything out there today, which I love, you know, it has more of a slick sound, you know, to it. And we just Escape Music and I were talking about, let's do something that's just pretty, I don't know, rootsy, organic, whatever, you know, from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we set out to do, and I think we did it. I'm glad you like it.
I think you just need a lot more PR, you know, and yeah. I hope you get it with a new album, because everyone's going to love it.
That's great. Yeah.
Now, on Symphony of Mine, was that a tribute to Kerry Livgren?
It was. Okay. Now, Rich wrote that song entirely. He did all the music and all lyrics.
Right.
And yes, it was about, now, Rich is a massive Kansas fan as well,
mm-hmm.
And there are a couple of songs on there that, Shadows of Peace is another one. If you read the lyrics, it's kind of about the band. Symphony of Mind is about Kerry specifically.
Right.
And just because, you know, he was such, and I as well, are such great fans of Kerry's mm-hmm. writing, and Steve.
Yep.
So that's why the song was actually dedicated to Kerry. Steve.
Yeah, Kerry's a genius. You know, I've been trying to get an interview with him for forever. I don't think he likes to do interviews.
Yeah.
He's in his own world.
No, he's still recording. He's working. I know he's working with John Elefante on.
Right. I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I think he had a new album out not too long ago. He's working on something, and I was going to try to promote it for him, but
uh-huh.
I never got an answer. So, oh well.
Yeah, I'm sure he's I just heard the other day that he's got so much material. He's writing, he's still writing like crazy.
Yeah, he's probably a busy guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about Never Surrender.
Never Surrender was Torben Venables' song.
Uh-huh.
And, when we did the first album, we always talked about kind of a combination of, like, we loved the Streets band that Steve was in. Steve Walsh,
mm-hmm.
Mike Slamer, and Seventh Key, which, you know, Mike was in with
right.
Billy Greer. And so we, Torben tried to write in that style. And this time around, we wanted to kind of do the same thing. So that one struck, it came in, and I loved it. I thought it had the commercial radio sound and that great Torben, you know, signature. So that's how that one happened.
Well, Winds of Change was also a good album. some of the songs I really liked on that was Prelude. Was a great song. Probably,
oh, thank you.
Probably my favorite song on the album.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. It reminded me a lot of Musicado from
Musicado,
that album.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think that song, it was an inspiration
mm-hmm.
for that. Yeah.
Homeward Bound was another good tune.
Yeah, yeah. And if you notice, we did another intro. We did the intro, Prelude, on the first album.
Right.
And we did another one,
mm-hmm.
instrumental on this album. We thought, why not? You know, no one really does that anymore. Keep with the tradition.
Exactly. And Prodigal had a very cool intro. It's another favorite of mine from the new album.
Oh, Prodigal? Okay, good.
Another, it's a great album. Like you said, to me, it reminds me of the late 70s, you know, when Kansas was really hot. Some people say your voice also sounds like a little bit of Steve Perry, like a little bit of Journey. So where have you been all this time?
Well, you know, when we left, I was a demo singer out in California. I did a lot of publishing firms and that sort of thing. I just kind of burned out, you know, and got away from it. And for about 25 years, I guess. And my wife and I are entrepreneurs. You know, we just ran a few businesses through the years. Out of the blue, I get this call to be on the Steve Walsh show. And that's what got me out of my chair, I guess. You know, get back into it. I mean, Steve was my, you know, to be honest, Steve Walsh show, I was just like, I don't know. That was a dream come true.
Well, the Steve Walsh album you're on is Black Butterfly. you sing on Born in Fire, Winds of War, Mercy on Me, which is probably my favorite tune that you sing on. It's an excellent album. And again, you got a great voice. You really do.
Oh, thank you. I thought Tommy Denander, who he and Steve Overland wrote the songs for my Outlaw Son album a few years back.
Right.
And Butterfly was a collaboration between Tommy Denander and Steve Walsh. And the songs that I did were written by Tommy and Steve Overland.
Okay.
On the Butterfly album. But I just thought Steve's voice still sounds powerful, clear, you know. I thought he did a fantastic job on it.
I did listen to your Outlaw Son album as well. That's another. I mean, there's nothing wrong with any of your albums. They're all great. You know, you got a great singer. You can't screw it up.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, but I had some great people to work with here.
Yeah,
I mean, you're talking Tommy Denander, you know, Steve Overland.
Yeah.
You know, and Brian Anthony as well. Brian Anthony actually did the. I did the mixing on the the Butterfly album, and also Outlaw Son, and also played bass on a lot of those tracks on both albums. So, you know, I've been fortunate to work with a lot of great people.
Well, that's what it's all about. Great, you know, good producer, engineer, and you're producing a lot of your stuff now, too, right?
Well, I produced my first solo album, which was more like a Josh Groban movie type songs.
Right.
We did. It was just something I wanted to do. And I produced that. And haven't produced until this Pinnacle Point album. And had a lot of fun doing it. And I don't know if I'd do it again. It's so much work. It's a ton of work.
Is it?
Yeah, really is. You know, but I think it turned out pretty good.
Well, like I said, it's a great album. Let's see, you produced it. There was, I wanted to make sure I name, because he's the one who kind of emailed me. Is it Khalil Turk?
Yes.
Khalil Turk. Okay.
Khalil Turk.
He's the one who first sent me the album, the new album. And then we kind of talked back and forth. And then I guess it was your wife that kind of actually put us together after all that.
Right.
Was he an engineer in the project, or did he help mix the final?
Khalil?
Yeah.
He was the executive producer.
Okay.
So he and I worked, you know, very closely on it.
Right.
And my good friend Jim Morris from Morris Sound, he and I did the vocals. He engineered the vocals. And he and I did the mixes.
Right.
At Morris Sound.
Well, they did a great job. I was looking at their resume. They did. They've got a pretty good resume out there in Tampa.
Oh, Jim, and
yeah. Tom?
Oh, yeah. They've been around. Oh, geez, since the '80s, early '80s.
Right.
When the you know, I think it was the metal was really big here in Tampa. You probably know. But yeah, they were recording a lot of big names. Warrant, I think they worked with Warrant. A couple of gold albums or platinum albums from Warrant. I can't remember some of these other guys. Oh, Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Right.
And several others. Yeah, they've been around a long time.
Well, we're lucky enough to have some, legendary performers here in the Tampa area, which is cool. I got, here in Bradenton, I have Rick Derringer lives close to me, and Brian, from AC/DC.
Okay.
He's over here in Sarasota. Perry from Aerosmith. He's got a house around here.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And then, of course, Tampa, the Outlaws came from Tampa. Steven Stills came from Tampa.
Okay.
I mean, the list goes on and on.
Did you interview those folks?
I interviewed the Outlaws, not Steven Stills, but I was good friends with Joe Lala, who was a fixture in Tampa. He was in Blues Image, Manassas with Steven Stills. He toured with the Bee Gees, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. He was a great guy. He passed away a few years back now, but he was right there downtown in Tampa, and born and raised in Ybor City.
Wow.
Yeah. So you got your style, I guess. You admired Mark Farner.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Mark Farner was one of your guys that you really liked growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was a big Grand Funk fan. My brother, my older brother, used to have, Closer to Home, On Time.
Mm-hmm.
I heard those records and thought, wow, I want to play guitar like that guy.
Yeah.
So I started playing guitar. That's how I learned listening to Mark Farner riffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and taught myself how to play guitar. And then I realized what a voice he had. Very soulful, you know, high tenor type voice. And I started to try to sing like him. So he was a big influence early on. When I was probably about 10.
Right. Yeah, Mark comes to Tampa a lot.
Yeah, I saw him a couple of years back.
Right.
Down by the Capitol Theater.
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, the outside concert, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
He's fantastic, man. Yeah, that voice is still there. Incredible.
He's incredible. Yeah, Grand Funk is just not the same without Mark Farner.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You know, as a matter of fact, you remember the band that opened up for Mark Farner?
Wet Willie?
No. Wet Willie did open up for Grand Funk a long time ago. I just had Jimmy Hall on the show recently.
I noticed that. Yeah, I noticed that on your show. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot the name of the band, but they play a lot of Kansas, and as a matter of fact, one of the guys from Kansas plays with them once in a while. I think Robbie does.
Oh, you're talking about Stormbringer.
Stormbringer, yeah. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just saw Stormbringer, I guess a little over a year ago.
Right.
Robbie was up on stage, and I gotta tell you, Robbie, it's incredible what he sounds like today. Because I know he had been ill for a while.
Really?
But his playing is incredible. And his singing, you wouldn't believe it. He sounds like 20 years ago.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, Stormbringer's a good band. They're a very good band.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're pretty well known around town. Actually, they were supposed to do a tour with Robbie a couple of years back. They were going to go overseas.
Right.
Somewhere, and I think Robbie was... couldn't do it.
Did you go to the Kansas show at, I think it was at Coachman's Park? It was Kansas and the Little River Band outside.
No.
You didn't go to that one? I had a backstage pass, so I hung out with everybody. Steve was there. It was probably one of the last shows that Steve put on.
No, I didn't see that one. We did see them a year ago last December. Where were they now? Ruth Eckert Hall?
Yeah, probably Ruth Eckert, right.
Ruth Eckert, yeah. But we got, you know, Billy Greer gave us a backstage pass and went back and saw those guys, Rich and Billy, Ronnie. Still wasn't there, but yeah, we got to see the guys.
Well, they're going to be looking at their future lead vocalist here pretty soon. Man, you fit in that band perfectly. You got the look, you got the sound, you got the know-how. I mean, you know.
Well, I appreciate that.
You should be the lead singer of Kansas. I think it's going to happen. You wait and see.
Well, hey, anything can happen, right? I mean, who thought I would have been on a Walsh album? I mean, that Walsh album, that's just, come on, you know. If somebody told me that, I would call them crazy, but Steve Walsh doesn't need singers.
Well, look how many singers from tribute bands end up in the real McCoy.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
Ronnie.
Yeah.
Ronnie was playing, he opened for them years ago, and the story I understand is when they opened for Kansas, Rich was, hey, this guy's great. You know, let's keep him in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it happened. They didn't even hold an audition. They just went right to Ronnie.
Amazing. That's exactly the movie, Rockstar, you know. That's exactly, ever since that movie, it's been happening.
Yeah. I think Ronnie's pretty glued in there. I don't think he's going anywhere, and I don't think, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, you never know. I mean, they kind of, the first guy that came in after John Anderson, he's gone now. Now they got another guy, so anything's possible, I guess.
Yeah, I think Journey's done it, too.
Journey, too, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Here and there.
Well, I love your version of The Wall. I think The Wall is one of my favorite Kansas songs. And you did a great version, because you kind of did your own thing there with the song.
You know what? It's funny you bring that up, because that's when we heard that Steve was retiring. And I thought, wow. And I just had been sick for about a month.
Uh-huh.
And just found out that Steve was going to retire. And
right.
Immediately went into the studio like a couple of days later. And we wanted to try to get something done really quick, so I did about three or four songs, and that was one of them. In fact, that was the first one I did, and I didn't want to do the entire song, because, you know, just a demo. But
right.
Yeah, that was Howard Helm, who plays on the Pinnacle Point albums. That's Howard playing piano on there.
Really?
Yeah, and he just you know, put that together really quick, and
mm-hmm.
hooked up with Jim Morris. Did the vocal on it, and we had the demo done in about 2 or 3 days, and I had a way to get it over to the guys, but they never held an audition. You know, as soon as Steve retired, a couple of days later, a week later, whatever it was, maybe a few weeks, they had Ronnie. I know they wanted John Belafonte.
Right.
And John wasn't sure if he wanted to do it, and mm-hmm. so they went with Ronnie.
Well, you know, with all the changes that happened in Kansas, they're still pretty strong, you know?
I'll tell you what, man, the music is phenomenal. I mean, Ronnie's doing a great, great job. Music, to me, is just, when we saw that back, you know, a year ago,
mm-hmm.
fantastic. Great show. Blew me away. The music was just big sound, you know, the drums, everything, beautiful.
I agree.
Rags still has it. He's fantastic. Really is.
You know, it's amazing that, you know, just a few guys can sound like a whole orchestra.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think they're going to be around still for a little while.
I think you're right, but
yeah.
But they may, you know, they may start changing personnel a little bit here and there. You never know. Somebody might get tired, and, you know.
Yeah, you never know. Anything can happen.
Phil's been there a long time, man. He's been there since the beginning.
Oh, yeah. And Rich.
And Rich, too, yeah.
And Rich.
Rich, I think, is having a little problem with walking and things like that. I've noticed that. Have you noticed that? He's kind of...
I haven't noticed that. I knew he had some problems a couple of years back, and I know he was on stage. He had to sit
right
through some shows, but he seemed okay to me when I had seen him back a year ago.
Yeah, he's a good guy, too. I met him backstage at that show,
mm-hmm.
and he's another great guitar player. Rich.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's great. Still got it.
Yep.
He put something up online, I don't know, about a month ago, saying that he was practicing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Still practicing. In between the shows. Of course, I guess they're having a big layoff here.
Yeah. So how hard is it to play Kansas music? And then... especially not playing the exact songs, but playing, you know, something similar with your own style and lyrics, new lyrics.
Kansas music, if you're talking about playing their music.
Right.
Some of the hardest stuff, I think, to play. And that's what I love about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a thinking man's rock, you know?
Right. It's exactly. Very,
it's classical music put to rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just incredible. You know, what an idea that was. But to sing those songs, you know, because I sing, I practice too, mm-hmm. and I sing those songs as my practice. And they're some of the hardest songs ever to sing. They really are.
I mean, they have an American prog rock band is incredible. You know that? I mean, yeah. you can't really think of too many American prog rock bands because they're all British, you know?
That's true. I'm so glad they're still around. You know, they went through a lot of changes and things and changed direction a little bit with the power stuff, which I loved. You know,
right.
Power and the Spirit of Things. I loved those albums as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole Steve Morse thing. And I loved some of the albums that I really loved. I guess Somewhere They Elsewhere. There are some masterpieces on that album.
They are, yeah.
No one really talks about it. Well, maybe they do, I don't know. But fantastic album. And now they're going ahead with, you know, a little bit of a different direction, which is mm-hmm. fine. And I did like the Prelude Implicit album.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff on that album as well.
Right. I've got a question I ask everybody that I interview, and I get some really interesting answers. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, like the movie, to perform, collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
I guess Kansas. You know, I'm trying to think, is there anyone? I think it's Kansas. That's my favorite band. That's my style of music that I love. And I would say that.
Well, how about play with Mark Farner?
Mark Farner, yeah. Yeah, he as well.
Can you do My Captain?
Can I do who?
Can you do My Captain?
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Have you tried that?
I've sung that song so many times.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's probably my favorite Grand Funk song. Yeah, they had a lot of good ones. I like the early stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the early stuff was... with the trio, the power trio.
Oh, yeah.
Great stuff.
I had Don Brewer on the show not too long ago.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It went good, you know. I've interviewed Mark as well, and I've met Mark a couple of times, and, you know, his son died. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, he was paralyzed in an accident, and he was doing so well, and then just one day, he's, you know, I feel so bad for Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant Don Brewer. Yeah, I knew about Mark.
Yeah, Mark's. Yeah. But Don's doing okay. He's, you know, they're still stubborn. They won't get this power trio back.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate.
Isn't that unfortunate? Oh, you know, I mean, yeah. How big would that be to have the original Grand Funk back, you know?
Yeah. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen, but yeah. It's better with Mark. It's far better.
It's all better with Mark, yeah.
Yeah. Don Brewer? Probably my favorite drummer.
He's a good drummer.
Oh, he's fantastic, man.
Yep.
He was a big part of that sound, you know, in the early years. And singing, too. That voice. Great voice.
Yeah, we're an American band. I mean, he nailed that.
Sure. And he wrote several of those big tunes, too. I think American Band, I think he wrote.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
A great band.
And I saw him a couple of times, too. When Bob Seger toured, he would be in Bob Seger's band as well.
I saw that.
Yeah.
He and Craig Frost, who played...
Yeah, the organ. Yeah. The
organ and piano from, what, let's see, Phoenix album on.
Mm-hmm.
And band Shining On the rest of the way. Yeah.
Did you go to that Orlando Calling Festival?
No, I did not.
Okay. That was a big fest in Orlando. They had Bob Seger was the headline. Kid Rock, Doobie Brothers. I mean, it was a great lineup. But
when was that?
This was probably, I don't know, about 2011, somewhere around there.
Oh, okay.
it was huge, you know. And
I missed that.
And I had my pass, and we, you know, got great pictures, and but they didn't make any money, so it never happened again. It was supposed to come back every year, but they were charging way too much money in concessions, number one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it was a great lineup. Incredible lineup. They had, like, you know, the big main stage, and then they had, like, four other stages.
It's a big event, yeah.
Big event, yeah. Buddy Guy was there.
Kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything about that.
Really? Huh. See, that they didn't do a very good job of promoting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jerome, you have anything else you would like to promote or chat about?
Well, you could go to our website, JeromeAzza.com.
Right.
And give you all the updated news on the album, reviews, and, you know, what we're planning for the future and everything. So, yeah. That's about it. And Pinnacle Point Symphony of Mind album is coming out then July 17th. And check out our video, Way to the World video. It's out right now. First single.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, getting ready to work on a solo album.
Well, it's a great album. 5 stars. Let me read you a review. One of my people, I've got like so many different music sites. This is from, her name is Roquette. And she says, from the opening note of their new album, Symphony of Mind, Jerome Azza and Pinnacle Point will give you the feeling that you want to drop the needle on the vinyl. The vocals and inspirational lyrics on the album will bring you back to the nostalgic times that are reminiscent of the days of the Sound of Kansas, the early years, and the deep cuts before their songs hit the radio stations. Jerome takes you on a journey with flawless sound of true progressive classic rock and roll in the purest form. His voice is penetrating, powerful, yet smooth and tranquil, and brings back fond memories of the concert days of the 1970s and 80s. The symphonic style is hypnotizing and carries its weight throughout the entire album. The storytelling is consistent and presents a true message. The ebb and flow and the building crescendos will remind you of what has been missing from the classic rock generation for the past decades. Congratulations on making us feel we have returned to a place of familiarity, got stuck on that word, that gave us so much pleasure. And what do you think about that?
That is fantastic.
Yep. Well, we sent it to your guy, so hopefully he'll post it.
Yeah. But you know, that's great to hear, because that is what we set out to do. You know, to go back and do an old school type album. So that's phenomenal.
Well, we hope you tour after this is all over. There's no excuse for not coming to Florida, because you're already in Florida. And, you know, you got Ruth Eckerd Hall, you got the Largo Cultural Center. There's a lot of places you can play. I'm sure you know all the people there, and if you need any help, let me know. I know all the booking guys in all those places. So.
I appreciate that very much.
Anything I can do to help you guys, because you guys are great. I really mean that.
Well, Ray, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. It was a real pleasure, and look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, Jerome. My best to your wife as well.
Okay,
and tell her thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye now. Pre-order the new album by Pinnacle Point, Symphony of Mind. The release date is July 17th. You can pre-order at www.escapemusic.com or at amazon.com. For more information about Jerome Azza and Pinnacle Point, visit www.jeromeazza.com. He's also on Facebook, www.facebook.com/JeromeAzzaMusician. Pinnacle Point. Go to their site, www.facebook.com/PinnaclePointTheBand. Also, Escape Music, www.escapemusic.com. Very special thanks to D. Mazza and Khalil Turk of Escape Music for arranging this interview with Jerome Mazza and the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsome of BBS Radio for making the music happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com, and please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends, with Ray Shasho for the very latest interviews. It's real news, people. And, of course, my new book is finally out, entitled The Rockstar Chronicles, Series 1. chronicles truths, confessions, and wisdom from the music legends that set us free. Order yours today at hardcover, collector's edition hardcover, or ebook at bookbaby.com. It features over 45 intimate conversations with some of the greatest rock legends the world will ever know. Thank you. Stay safe. Be happy. Have a great week. Bye-bye now.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio, Station 1.